week, okay, on Sunday, I had like my exam on Monday, so I couldn't, and over like Sherlock over here live, it comes at like 3 a.m. so I couldn't watch. However, like there were people on my Twitter feed who live in UK, so they get it like live. Mm-hmm. Right? And I mean, it was like, you know, it was just like my Twitter is almost always on in like one of the tabs. So I just go and I see whatever's happening in the middle. And I was trying to study, but there were like people who kept like bitching about every single thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and the thing is, I was really pissed off that day, but like I was fine like after my exam and after like watching the episode and after the whole week. But it's, I think it's like, it's just like a general thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, all I wanted to do was like to type to them, like, if you don't like it, why are you watching it? Okay? I mean, exactly. What? I mean, it's not like it's a movie that you went in and you didn't like, then you realize that it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Okay? Or like you're being paid to like watch this show or something like that, right? It's like, it's your own opinion. Obviously, you've watched like some like 9 hours of it already. Mm-hmm. So if you have not liked it so far, it's fine if you don't like it. You're like entitled to your own opinion. Okay, but like, don't sit down and like ruin it for people who have like waited 2 years to watch it. I was, the only reason I didn't want, I mean, first of all, I don't want to start Twitter fights, it's just lame, but like the only reason I didn't, because it was already like 3 o'clock in the night and I needed sleep so that I wouldn't fail the next day. So that's why I controlled myself, and I was fine, like, you know, like after, because the episode was so great. Okay, so I was like fine, but it's just like a general, like, you know, like don't like show your, like, it's not cool to be like to act hateful, you know. So,
okay,
yeah, that was my hand. It's been like built up inside me since like last Sunday.
Welcome to all visitors from across the universe. You are listening to the Across the Universe podcast, brought to you by the Chicks with Accents. Hola, I'm Sofia, and I vlog at Filmflare from Portugal. I will be hosting this episode. With me are Matt, who vlogs at Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions from Germany/Denmark. Hi, Matt.
Hi, morning.
And Nick, who vlogs from India and runs the blog Being Norma Jean. Hi, Nick.
Namaste.
This is our first episode recorded in 2014, officially, yay. and we're going to talk about the latest movie by Martin Scorsese, The Wolf of Wall Street. But first, we'll begin with the interesting movie of Fortnite feature right after this trailer from a fellow member of the LAMB Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Check out the big brain on bread!
Thank you for that intro, Mr. Samuel L. Jackson. My name is Brad, and I am the host of the Picking Brains podcast, where you will find interviews with the most unique minds of the horror genre. So go to picking-brains.com and check the podcast out. And I have to be going now because here are some zombies.
Brains! Brains! Brains!
Interesting movie of the Fortnite feature. You know what it is. It's a movie that we've seen in the past few weeks and that we think is worth sharing with you. Now, since I'm hosting, I'll start as usual. And I thought that 2014 could start with a classic. I'm really making an effort to watch even more classics. I don't know why I already watched so many. I should make the effort to watch current films. But I watched Strangers on a Train, mm-hmm. Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I was surprised that it was good, because obviously it's Hitchcock. I was already expecting that. But it's a very interesting film. I always thought that the premise was peculiar, and that's always what drove me into it. And it's from 1951, and it's about two men who meet on a train, and they get to talking, and they start to express their feelings towards people that they don't like. One is towards his wife and the other towards his father. And then the one who resents his father starts to conjecture, I think that's how I say it, about how they could get away with murder, what the perfect murder would be. And that would be to swap murder. So the one who resents his father would kill his wife, the other's wife, and the other would kill the other's father. So this is all hypothetically, and the tennis player, that's the one who resents his ex-wife. This is getting a little confusing, maybe.
No.
No, you get it? Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, this guy's a little weird. I'm not gonna care at all about what he's saying, and he's being polite, and they part ways. But then sometime later, his wife turns up dead. And the other guy comes to him and says, well, I killed your wife, now you kill my father. So he's in a bit of a jam. Yeah. And this is the premise, so it's really interesting to think how he could get out of it without being, because he's almost an accessory to murder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. It's Hitchcock. It's the actors, and I think I know the tennis player from...
He was there in Rope, too.
Nah, I haven't seen Rope yet.
Rope's also really good.
Yeah, I think it is, because it has Jim Stewart, and they mentioned Cary Grant, so I think I want to that film too. It's on my list. I know that the others aren't that well known, but they're all great, as usual, of course.
Yeah, the other guy was really good, like that crazy one.
He was creepy, huh? Really weird. And it all happens. He gets out of hand, you know, it just starts as something strange.
Yeah.
And then things start happening and you think, how could he get out of it?
Yeah, it sounds like a really good plot.
It is. I think it's one of the most original.
Yeah.
That he
The thing is, I'm pretty sure there's like some Hindi movie, like some really lame romantic-y movie which was based on this plot, which I had seen as a child. When I was watching
really?
This movie, I was like, yeah, because, you know, like, Bollywood movies rip off everything, right?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had seen that, and then when I was watching Strangers on a Train, I was like, oh shit, I know where this is going. And it sucks. I hate it when that happens. Even Primal Fear, you know, like Edward Norton's first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has like this, it's really good, okay, and it has like this amazing twist, except I had seen the Bollywood remake of it, so when it actually happened, I was like, oh no, I know this because I've seen like the terrible like copy of this movie. I haven't seen the amazing, like before the amazing original, which should have like, you know, blown my mind. So, yeah. I hate it when that happens.
Never happened to me, but
Bollywood did that.
Yeah, they do. There's this one production company, the Pod Brothers or something, that do all these remakes. It's kind of, but they're getting into trouble, is what I think right now.
Because of the rights?
Yeah, like people in Hollywood are starting to notice it because Bollywood is getting more successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt.
Yeah. I was thinking that because we're going to talk about Wolf of Wall Street, and it's kind of a movie that is a lot of people are talking about right now, and well, deservedly so. But I was thinking of a movie that kind of nobody talks about anymore, and I only watched it because Stevie Taylor from a last episode, she wrote about it on her blog. And it really surprised me, because from critics and everything, I gathered that it wouldn't be worth seeing. And it's The Place Beyond the Pines by Derek Cianfrance, I think that's how he said. I watched it on the plane back from Michigan, and I was blown away by how well-structured it is and how surprising it is. Like, the narrative is just, it's very unpredictable. It's centered around these two fathers. One is played by Ryan Gosling and the other one by Bradley Cooper. And Ryan Gosling is kind of a circus artist, but he finds out that he has a son in this town with a character played by Eva Mendes. And so he, of course, wants to provide for that son, but he doesn't really have an education or anything. So he starts robbing banks, and this is not a spoiler, but I think that he gets killed because it happens like in the first quarter of the movie, third, and he's killed by Bradley Cooper, who is a cop and who has been following him, and it's kind of an accident. I mean, and Bradley Cooper then finds out that about this son, and he has a son of himself that's the same age, so he has a lot of guilt, and yeah, but he's celebrated as a hero, so it's really a weird situation for him. And then the last third of the movie is about the two sons growing up, and they meet and they go to the same high school, and there's a lot of conflict there. I just heard that this movie was kind of like Blue Valentine, which is also by Derek Steinfrenz. It's nothing new, and I mean, I haven't seen Blue Valentine, but I think that The Place Beyond the Pines is very original, and I think it's really well acted by all these, even Eva Mendes. I don't really notice her otherwise, but she was great in this. And the two young actors were great, and it's not like overly depressing. I mean, I would watch it again. So,
okay.
My whole problem with it was its structure. I just thought it was so weird. I don't know what it was about that film. I was just like, it was trying to do something. I don't know what I wanted it to do, but it was just like, I don't know. It just fell short of like my expectations, because like I had like a newfound love for Blue Valentine. But they did. Everyone was very good in it, like the acting wise. I would say that.
Yeah, it's not maybe what you would expect, I guess. But I loved it. I can see how maybe it would be too unstructured for. Yeah.
Well, I've never seen it, and I wasn't planning on seeing it.
Well, I don't know what to say,
now I will. But okay. I don't know. Maybe the marketing wasn't good. I thought it would be interesting.
Wasn't that good. The trailer isn't that good either. So,
yeah, like you said, nobody really talks about it.
No.
It's one of those, you know what happened? It's one of those movies there's a lot of movies, even as good as 2013 has been, there are a lot of movies that people have just forgotten about. And this was one of the more forgetful movies, for me at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happened, because... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other movies have stood out much more. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Nick. Yeah, okay, so me. I've actually only been watching 2013 movies. I've seen quite a few, like, really good, like, big ones, like 12 Years a Slave and Her and August Osage County and all those things. But I'm going to talk about, like, very, like, small movie which no one is talking about, and it's About Time. Which is directed by Richard Curtis, and it stars, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Domhnall Gleeson. What is his name? I don't know what it is. I'm just gonna call him Bill Weasley. And Rachel McAdams, Bill Nighy, Margot Robbie, who is there in Wolf of Wall Street, and Tom Hollander. And it's about a guy named Tim, played by Bill Weasley, whose dad, who's played by Bill Nighy, tells him on like his 21st birthday that the men in their family, they have this ability to time travel, but only in like their timeline. Like, they can't go, like, you know, as Bill Nighy says, they can't go and kill Hitler mm-hmm. you know. So it's and like, you know, it's just basically like mostly like, and Tim just uses it at first to like get out of awkward situations. And, you know, like Margot Robbie's character, his sister's name is Catherine, but he calls her Kit Kat. Margot Robbie plays her like super hot friend who he tries to like, you know, seduce, but like it fails because he's like a tall, like gangly ginger who's very cute, but like you just don't see him with someone who looks like Margot Robbie. And then like he moves to London and he's a lawyer. And he meets Rachel McAdams' character, who's like obviously the American girl in, as like in all Richard Curtis movies, there's like the American girl.
Yeah.
And her name is Mary, which is also Tim's mother's name. Like they meet at a blind date, which goes really well. But like the guy who he's living with, he's played by Tom Hollander. Okay, he's this playwright. He's hilarious in the movie. He tries to like fix his failed play, so in doing that he sort of like changes his timeline, so he doesn't meet Mary. So then he tries to like find ways to meet Mary, and then like he does meet Mary, and then it goes on from there. And it's a really, really sweet movie. Like it's very, very touching. I think it's like the classic example of a film that is very, very deeply flawed. Because the time travel science in it makes no sense. It's completely like Richard Curtis just puts it there for like convenience sake. Okay, there's no actual. It's just like just new like plot, like new developments in the time thing just keep coming up according to like how the story is going. Okay, so if you don't think about the actual like the time travel in it. It is a very, very good movie, I thought, because it has, like, its heart and its humor in the right place. Like, obviously, it's really, really funny, because it's, like, Richard, you know, like, you know the stereotypical Richard Curtis movies. They have to be funny. They're, like, the definition of rom-com. But it's also very, very touching. It's, I think, apart from maybe the Doctor Who episode Richard Curtis wrote, this is, like, his most poignant work that I have seen, because it's all about like family and love, and it's about fathers. Like it's about Tim and his dad, and Tim when he becomes a dad, and like all the actors have acted so well in this. Everyone's really like spot on, especially Bill Weasley. He's so like effortless and charming and sweet, and he gets the Richard Curtis British like awkward hero thing perfectly. And Bill Nye is probably, it's like one of his like best performances, because he has, you know, the whole the effortless like intellectual thing, but yeah. He's also so sweet, and he's like such a nice dad. So it's a really, I mean, I cried in it. I felt really happy in it. It was a really sweet movie, you know. It's very flawed, but sometimes that doesn't matter, you know. So it's like that, yeah.
Yeah, I really want to see that movie.
Me too.
And I never thought, yeah?
No, I just said me too.
I never thought that time travel would be a problem. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be scientifically accurate, if no. You can be scientifically accurate.
No.
Time travel. Yeah. I don't think that will matter.
And it's like, and I think I saw it right around the time, I think met when you watched 12 Years a Slave.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you know, we had like a tiny Twitter discussion on
yeah.
it. And it, for me, you know, it's like the exact opposite of like 12 Years a Slave. Like, for me, like 12 Years a Slave does like so many things right, you know. If you have like a checklist, you know, the acting, the directing, the story, the impact, cool. You know, you're getting like all those like tick marks. But I didn't like really feel a lot towards it. I did cry, I did cringe. All those things which is supposed to happen did happen, but wasn't like, I don't know, very like, somehow didn't affect me so much. But this one, even though all these other things didn't have like, you know, they weren't like tick marked against, but they had like that, like I felt so close towards it for like, it's just, I don't know, it's like, it's very normal, it's very human, it's very sweet. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Leroy!
What?
Your mama, she calling you, man.
Episode, as I said, we are going to talk about The Wolf of Wall Street, and it is a movie directed by Martin Scorsese that stars Leonardo DiCaprio as Jordan Belfort. He is a man who was, after getting fired from his first job in Wall Street, I think, he decided to start his own company called Stratton Oakmont. Very pompous name. And he then proceeds to make ridiculous amounts of money, living a lifestyle that is just completely over the top and unimaginable. And of course, along the way, he will commit some crimes, namely a lot of crimes. And I don't know if you, I mean, this is a real story based on a true story, of course, doesn't embezzle.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about his downfall before watching the film.
No, me neither.
No, because in the short synopsis in IMDb, it talks about his fall.
Oh.
But I didn't know that, so that came as a little bit of a shock.
I think it's like classic storytelling.
Foreseeable, of course.
Yeah.
A guy who's doing all this stuff without having a downfall, you know, it's just, it's obvious in that way, but like, this movie does it so well.
And it's not a real downfall.
Exactly. You know in the back of your mind that it's coming, obviously, but then it can be a little shocking. Okay, so we have permission to talk about his downfall. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that isn't...
We have permission to curse in this one, because we should.
You can. Not if I will, but you can.
Maybe.
Okay, so I was thinking that we should divide this conversation. Perhaps we should start with the movie in general, and then in the direction by Scorsese, and then move on to performances, finishing up with DiCaprio, who I think deserves his own.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was gonna start it with like, I fucking love Leonardo DiCaprio. And love
no,
so
no,
much.
No. You have to save the best for last. Okay. Hold on to your thoughts on DiCaprio. We all agree that he was awesome.
Yeah.
But you're going to save it for last, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so starting with the movie in general. First thoughts. Go, Matt.
I thought, okay, should I swear? Because... maybe.
You can swear.
This is like the one episode we're allowed to swear. I've like closed all the doors so that people don't get scared.
Okay. So in like one sentence that fits the movie, I would say it was motherfucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because it just was. Yeah, that's all.
And Nick, what did you...
It was so... so crazy, but I have not had this much fun watching a movie. I mean technically since Pacific Rim, but like that's a different kind of fun. You know, that is like robots bashing up dinosaurs, but this is a whole another level.
It is. I never laughed this hard in a movie theater. I think I never laughed this hard at a movie ever. It was the funniest movie I've ever seen, honestly. I watched this on Friday night, right?
Yeah.
And I had an exam that day, so I was really tired. And then I went to the movies and I had no idea that this was like 3 hours long. Okay. And it was a midnight session. There was practically nobody in the room, but on my row, there was this couple, I think, in their 40s, and the woman, she was hysterical. I mean, I've never seen, she almost got up to laugh, and it was incredible. So her hystericness, I don't know if that's a word, but allowed me to laugh really hard as well.
Yeah.
So it was just, we were both hysterical. This is the funniest movie I've ever seen, again. I don't know.
I saw it in like a jam-packed hall, which is kind of amazing because I was like, people in Calcutta are interested, what? But I honestly, I thought that they were gone there because of like the R rating, okay? Because when we were walking out of the hall, I heard, so stupid, man. I saw like people, like my age group, and they were like saying like, oh, but the second half was boring. And then I heard someone compare it to Titanic. And then I was like, and I had to like tell my friend to like you know, like remove me away from them.
Yeah.
Because like I would like start like screaming or something. And I was like everyone was laughing, and you know, like I think the lemon scene deserves again its own section, because I was so glad I saw that scene in like a hall full of people, because it's so funny. And like I was laughing, my friend was like clapping and laughing, you know, when you like clap and you have
I was clapping.
She was doing that, okay, it was so funny.
I wanted to get up and bang my head on something because I was laughing so much. I finished the movie. I had headaches and my cheeks hurt from laughing so much. Oh, but the guy behind me, he was a real dick. I mean, he was just, everyone was laughing. I was like, this is not funny. How is this funny?
He said that?
Yeah, he said that. He's just, I don't know.
Oh, no.
And then when his wife, the new wife, appears on the kid before they get engaged.
Yeah.
He's like, thank you. He says this. Thank you.
Okay.
So dang it.
So.
What a
okay. Whatever. Yeah. Okay, so this is obviously completely over the top. I it's a little shocking. I was shocked at every minute of this movie and of how insane everything was. I mean, and insultuous.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, with dwarfs and everything. It's just, it was so bad.
It was very inappropriate.
Very inappropriate. Very, very inappropriate. But the thing that I take away from this is that no matter how out of control the characters were, I think it was such a tightly directed film.
I mean,
Scorsese, of course, but he never loses control of the movie, and everything is just so, it plays out so well, so well.
Yeah, and there's like, I mean, there every part of the movie is important and just adds up, I think.
It's never boring.
No.
Never.
It's never working. I saw it when I watched it in the hall. I saw the censored version. So it was maybe like when I saw it was slightly less outrageous. Because like they only cut about 6 minutes. They only cut the actual nudity. Okay, they didn't cut.
How does that work exactly? They cut scenes.
Yeah, they like as in like you know like again like the scene where what was her name? No. Okay, his second wife, right? What her name? Naomi. Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, when she comes, like, they just cut the part when she's nude. And then, like, but they did show him on top of her. But, like, you can see her body. You know?
That's kind of
stupid. It
was
like that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, the whole airplane orgy scene wasn't there.
Of course.
And things like that. Yeah.
And gay stuff in their apartment as well.
Yeah. Okay. That was just like, you know, like the show, like her walking in and then like the show her crying. You know, it was only, but it was only like, it was only 6 minutes.
Okay.
But,
like,
but doesn't that look weird?
No, I, you know, it didn't, that's what I was, I, because I saw the uncensored version yesterday.
After.
Because I wanted to see, and I don't, the only thing I think it does, it added to it was like it just became a little bit more outrageous. Like they were like even crazier people, and like Leo is even more brilliant. That's like my only two conclusions to it, because they were like I got like how crazy they were. It was fine.
But when the man is shirtless, they don't cut that, do they?
They don't. Yeah, but they didn't show his butt.
So they cut the gay scene. Okay.
Okay. Anything more about the plot? Oh, about the plot, the downfall. So, what did you think? I mean, there's all the craziness, going up and up and up and up. And then, were you shocked? Because I was a little shocked. I mean, I bought into the lie, basically. The lie that he was living. I don't know if you felt the same.
I wasn't shocked. I was kind of surprised the way it went out. You know, like I didn't imagine... We are going spoilers, right? So I didn't imagine, like, the yellow slip to be there. You know, like, the thing written on it.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
it was,
yeah, that.
It was kind of funny, like, yeah. How quickly the downfall came. But I don't know. All of it just made sense. Okay, no, about the directing. Obviously, okay, like, the directing is amazing. But I think it also, the writing,
yeah.
Right? Because it's mm-hmm. such a funny, mm-hmm. like, the dialogues are hilarious. Okay, this is such random dialogues, but they're so funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know the part when they're on the plane when they're going to Switzerland? And like, you know, the one part which keeps coming back to me is like that whole discussion of Jonah Hill trying to explain to him about how he married his cousin. Like, go fuck your cousin. It was so funny. It was like the simplest thing, but it made me laugh so much. Yeah. And everyone is saying that, you know, like, I think it was like a much longer movie. I think why it is so tightly packed, though, is because of the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has apparently done like amazing job. I don't know her name. I think it's Schumacher or something. But okay. It's like a lot of it depends on her. Like, she's the one who made it like this. Like,
yeah,
coherent.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and the conversation, but, yeah. The thing about the conversations is that even when they're talking about outrageous things, they speak so normally about
yeah.
it. The conversation about the dwarves.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say.
They were speaking like they were talking about ice cream or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole Matthew McConaughey scene. I mean,
my God, yeah.
And he,
I could... If the movie was just that, also I could have watched it, okay? Because it was that entertaining.
Yeah.
He was characterized in a really weird way, though, like really thin and old and.
He looked different, yeah, than normally.
I think it's because he was like losing weight for Dallas Buyers Club, so
maybe. Just, but
yeah,
wow, it was really different, but hilarious again.
Yeah.
But with this movie, you mentioned certain parts, and it feels like when you go on a night out, and the next day you start remembering things. This is what it's feeling like right now.
It's like being on a high. The movie, it's kind of, it's broadly meta, you know, like the whole movie is about drugs and like getting high on drugs.
Yeah.
But then you get sort of high on the movie.
Yeah. You do.
It's weird. It's awesome.
It's insane. The whole time I was thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe they're.
Yeah.
I just kept laughing from shock.
And Scorsese, I've talked about, you know, film critic Hulk, like I talked about his essays early on. He talks about, you know, like, this is like a 71-year-old man who's made this movie, okay?
Yeah.
It's like a 27-year-old would have made this. You know, it would have been like an era, like, you know, like a beginning of a new era in movies, you know, mm-hmm. It's amazing, like, the energy that, like,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think Scorsese can be very current.
Yeah.
He keeps evolving, he keeps doing different things, it's just...
Yeah, but even, like, physically thinking about it, I mean, like I said, I was visiting my grandparents when I watched this in the U.S., and they're about Scorsese's age, and it's just, I mean, not like insultingly, but it's I think it's hard to stay that fit and still produce things like this. Like,
I mean. Yeah.
Well, we have a Portuguese director who's 105 years old, and he still makes movies.
Good movies, or
yeah, he's the oldest director alive.
Cool.
In active, yeah. It is cool. So it's, I hope, amazing. Scorsese lives still. He's 100.
Yeah, and Woody Allen.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Need to meet. Yeah. What else? So is that it about the direction?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Since we've we're counting this along with plot, right? Okay, what I didn't, I don't think I understood the ending.
I love like the ending. I love it.
When it happened, like, because I was just like, huh?
Isn't
and
it like
my friend and I, we looked at each other and we were, I mean, I'm admitting that I'm stupid and I didn't get it, so what happened?
Well,
Remind me.
You know, that ends with those people's faces. He's telling them to sell him.
Oh, right. And then
it just like ends with like those people in the audience.
But
I think it's open to interpretation. I think it was him giving back everything he stole, basically.
You think so?
What I took away from it was that, because the whole time during his downfall, I kept thinking, oh, right, he committed crimes, and by that he actually stole from people because he conned them, right?
Okay.
Well, and I was thinking that he was passing along his knowledge of salesmen and basically those people on the subway that the federal guy talks about, the common people, the ones who don't have enormous tons of amounts of money. He's helping them, so it's almost like a way of giving back. I don't know. That's how I see it.
Okay, because I saw it in a totally different way. Maybe I'm more negative, but I thought it I thought it was like showing that still everybody is just dreaming of this life that he used to have, and there's still like they still want it, and we all still want it. Like he's only giving them a mirror, and they don't like doom him. I mean, he has been to jail, but they don't think about it. That they only think about what he's achieved, and they still want that.
Yeah. I was thinking from his perspective, he got away with almost everything. I mean, he was in jail, I think, for some time. That's what I read, but
not really very long.
No, I think it was some months.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I read that somewhere, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it says 36 months in prison.
Yeah, so that's not very long.
No, it is long.
But compared to 20 years, he only got 3 years. So.
Yeah, but 20 years is just too much for financial, I don't know. That's not the discussion here. It's just
okay.
But from the people's perspective, I agree. I think he was passing along the knowledge of selling things, of conning almost, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was hungry for it and hoping to achieve that, because of course who wouldn't like to have his life minus the drugs?
Yeah, and that's why I don't that's why I don't get people who say that this is just a movie that glamorizes this lifestyle and promotes it. A lot of people say so, and I just know this is the lifestyle, and you can think what you want, and if you think it's glamorous, then that's you.
So
what you're saying, and this is I think what I somewhat got, is like those people in the end, is it like us? Is it us watching him?
That's
I think
what
so.
I
wouldn't learn to sell a pen like that.
I wouldn't
I wouldn't learn how to make money. I just don't want to commit any crimes on my way up.
Yeah. The movie is it's so smart in the way it sort of sets him up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he comes as like this puppy dog who like doesn't drink wine even, and it's just like, and then when I watched it in the hall, it was just like, you know, it just after that whole conversation with Matthew McConaughey, it's like he becomes a stockbroker. But then I was watching and then there's like this whole like strip club scene in there when he's getting drunk and stuff. So I like that it was cool, like, you know, like. And I like that they, I don't know, it was nice to not, that it didn't, like, spend time on, like, him becoming a bad person.
Yeah,
know?
And he was
like, this. It was cool.
And he was never that bad. I mean, there were always scenes, like, the scene with the woman, where he talks to the woman that he gave her like $20,000 or whatever, and you know, he helped people. So
it's so hard.
It's confusing.
It blurs the lines between right and wrong. I think that's it's an illusion that they sell you throughout the film. But I'm not criticizing like other people have the lifestyle that he have. It's not that. Nor the purposes behind the film. That is stupid to question that.
Yeah.
But the story is just so well made that, and I think DiCaprio plays a big role in that because you can watch him have fun, even at the expense of others, but you like him and it just doesn't seem wrong. He was doing drugs. I hate drugs. If my friends are smoking pot, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I don't like that. But him doing cocaine, I was like, oh, that sounds like fun.
That's no limits.
Yeah, like he sells that throughout the film. Sells you all the lies and you buy into it, and that's why I was a little surprised. I mean, I wasn't surprised that it happened, that he was caught, but I was definitely like a wave of shock, like, oh right, he did commit crimes. That was wrong.
He just looked so good in that blue suit while doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, get high on the film.
Yeah, I was gonna say something. Oh, shit. No, okay. So I guess what, you know, the whole right and wrong thing is what, like, this year's, like, one certain trend in this year's movie has been this whole idea of, like, American entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's what this movie is getting, you know? It's like, this is the land of chances, of golden opportunities, just, like, get everything, you know? So I think that's why, like, you know, because in there somewhere, there's like a really like sort of positive note. But what like this and like the other movies this year have shown is like, you know, when it's too much, it's just not, it's not good.
Yeah.
So even though we're not, like, there's like, it was so weird because I saw this and then I saw Pain and Gain.
Okay.
Okay. The Michael Bay movie, which again, I didn't mind. And seriously, there were points, like, I got a little confused between the Mark Wahlberg character and, like, Jordan Belfort, because both of them have a sort of similar idea about, like, you know, like, we deserve more, you know, we should get rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's been, like, a trend. So I think that's why, like, you know, we're not completely, like, against this, because we do like money.
Yeah,
but, like, we don't, like, but they're doing it, like, the other way. Like, then there was Blink Ring, there was Gatsby, there was
Spring
Gatsby
Breakers,
Spring Breakers, then to a lesser degree there's like Blue Jasmine and Frances Ha,
and American Hustle,
I think because of that, like, we don't completely like hate them for doing things.
No. And I was, there were a lot of things that came to mind while watching this movie. It actually made me think about a lot of things. It made me think of DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's how, I think he's really great in this type of role. And also, this is maybe a bit weird, but a Dean Martin song, which is Money, it's called Money, and I was thinking about how certain people seem to hate the rich.
Okay.
A lot of people, in fact, and how money can't buy happiness, and there's a line in that song, I just think, this is weird, but I just think it's really interesting, where he says, how does he say it? He says, ask the rich man, he'll confess, money can't buy happiness. Ask the poor man, he don't doubt, but it'd rather be miserable with than without. So, and to me, it comes down to that. Of course I want money. Sure, it may not buy happiness, but it does buy a lot of things that are good. So
yeah.
It's like that scene that during the speech, you know, he says, like, you know, like, you know, even if I'm being, like, punished for something, okay, I'm, like, I'm in my limo wearing my Armani suit with my 40,000 gold watch. not that.
Exactly. It's not the only thing. Like a douchebag, but it's true. I mean, you want it. It's a need that was created, and there's just no fighting it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And didn't you love this?
Did you like Jordan Belfort as a person, though?
You mean in the movie?
Not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't want to be one of his, like, close friends or anything. Mm-hmm. But the other people at the firm, I mean, he was kind of... They got money and...
Oh, they got caught.
She said when they arrested the woman and she was like, this is Chanel.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny, but I was sad for her because I didn't think they would all get punished. I don't know why. I just thought it would be him and then Donnie. But seeing them all going...
One thing where I really didn't like him is when you see him with his daughter. I mean, it's just maybe
it was out of control.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad for her. Just thinking about maybe she's gonna grow up and be, you know, have a bad relationship with him.
Yeah, it is sad. It's family drama. But did you think that he believed that he was doing, that he wasn't doing anything wrong?
Depends on how you define wrong.
He eventually bought into the lie himself. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Like he was entitled to do that.
I think there's, even though they don't like explore it, maybe like half the time all the drugs was taken was like to forget about how awful half the things are.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows? No, you guys don't watch Breaking Bad, but there was a lot of, like, especially, you know, that whole scene with his daughter. Mm. It reminded me so much of Walter White.
Okay.
That was one of the things which was coming to me while I was watching the movie. Like, there's a whole thing in Breaking Bad about how, you know, you guys know, like, the basic premise of Breaking Bad, right? Like,
yeah.
He's a chemistry teacher who decides to, like, make meth and then sell meth and all that stuff. Okay, so you know, like, it's kind of like that because you know, in Wolf of Wall Street, when he has the chance of like walking away,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't, because that's like the thing he has built for himself, good or bad.
Yeah,
so that was like a very strong, that has a very like very strong Breaking Bad connection, because even like Walter White, he knows that it's like a bad thing, but that's something he has made, so he takes like great pride over it.
Yeah.
So it's like that.
And it is impressive what he did. I mean, Jordan Belfort, you have to be really smart and talented to do all that. I mean,
yeah,
it's unbelievable what he did.
Yes.
Oh, and about the people who say that this is completely over the top, and it says it's based on a true story, but it just goes
all of that
much beyond. I don't know. I'm actually not that familiar with your original story, but it's about how the film, like, they accuse them of one.
No, as in, like, you know, like the whole ship thing actually happened.
Oh my god, really?
That was like the most unbelievable thing in the
world.
But it actually happened, so it's just like, I was just watching the Graham Norton show,
uh-huh.
and like Sylvester Stallone and De Niro and Jonah Hill and Carey Mulligan were there, and just, apparently Sylvester Stallone was like, he had been on that boat, on that yacht.
And the real one?
One of those.
Or?
Yeah, the real one.
Wow.
Like in his heyday. In Jordan Belfort's heyday. Can you imagine? That's so
insane. I can't. It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I think the
that's
real
what
story
makes it fun, because it's like, that's why, you know, sometimes the more outrageous things become even better, because it's, you know, it's like truth is stranger than fiction, you know, so it's like that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
But obviously, there's a lot of it which is like cinematic.
That's normal. It's just,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Wanna talk about the acting? No?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Again, leave DiCaprio to the end. Just talk a little bit about the others. first. So, Matt, what did you think of these secondary actors that I said? I don't know.
Supporting.
Supporting. That is in Portuguese. Supporting.
I liked all of them. My favorite is probably Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
he was hilarious.
He should ideally, even he should get an Oscar nomination. He was truly great in that film.
Yeah, he should.
Really,
definitely. And but I liked all of the others, like Matthew McConaughey. We talked a little bit about him.
Mm-hmm.
I used to really, until maybe 1 year ago, he was the guy from the rom-com for me.
For everyone.
Okay, and I don't know what happened, but it's great that it happened, and he's definitely really good. And everyone, I mean, Jean Dujardin.
Oh, yeah. That whole mind conversation they have.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was
the only person in the hall. Pretty sure I was the only person in the hall who knew who he was.
Oh.
So when he came, I squealed. Like, I actually, like, squealed out of joy. So
you didn't know? Because I didn't know that he was in it.
I knew he
was in it. I'm saying I was probably the only person in the hall who even knew who he was.
Yeah.
So I got really excited that he
And one of
he looked so
one of the people I haven't really heard of anyone talk about is the one that plays Aunt Emma. I thought she was great.
She was really great.
Uh-huh.
I love her one scene she has with Leo.
So fun.
God.
Is he hitting on me?
Yeah.
And even Naomi was
cool. Dialogue in this movie is just
so
okay. Okay, we'll talk about more.
Jonah Hill was great. Margot Robbie was really good.
Yeah.
The wife.
Yes.
She was very, very good. I was kind of surprised. She's so young. She's like 23.
Yeah, I just saw.
Yeah.
She looks much older. I can't. Yeah, she. Oh my god, she was born in 1990. How is that even possible? It just ruined. Kidding.
Okay. No, and this year has been like a great year. Whatever, this year, last year, has been a great year for like accents, and I loved hers too. It was so funny. Especially, you know, that whole part where she was like, short skirts. She was so great, like to be that like commanding.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like Leonardo DiCaprio there. It's really great too.
Yeah.
Their water fight. Oh my god.
Well, it was hilarious. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, I love them too. I love all of them too. Yeah, Jonah Hill, it's ridiculously funny. It's the funniest role he's had so far. And again, it's because of the writers too. It's just incredible. Okay, DiCaprio.
Okay.
But McConaughey, you know, it has like, it's like a similar thing to what I will say for DiCaprio. I think like, funnily enough, it's probably my favorite thing he's done this year, last year, even like with like Mud and Dallas Buyers Club. Even though those two were really great, because he was so on in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like using like all of his talent, you know, like all of the things you would expect him to be, like the whole charismatic like thing, and he was using that. And that is like what Leo does, except it's like multiplied like a billion gazillion times. So
yeah,
let's go to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. So can I start? Okay.
Yeah.
DiCaprio. The thing is, he did everything in this movie. I don't know if he's nominated for something already.
For Globes. For Globes.
Okay, good.
If he doesn't get nominated for Oscars, I'm actually going to cry.
Me too.
Literally going to cry.
Yeah, exactly. It's
definitely.
Just, it's ridiculous if he doesn't, because he does everything in this. I mean, the physical comedy he does in this.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. It really is. It's hilarious. And So I really, like I said, he fits the role perfectly. I mean, you watch him have fun, and it's the thing I love most doing when I go to movies. I love watching DiCaprio have fun on the screen because
he never does.
Yeah, well, he never does, but
he's always sad or mad or dead. That's why it's so awesome to see him in this role.
Just go loose, yeah, just have some fun, definitely. So,
and
I know, it's just, there's so much to say that I don't even know.
I know, I have a post entitled a note on Leonardo DiCaprio's performance, but I'm probably just going to like talk all about it right now, so it will never get published. Yeah. Matt, what do you have?
I haven't written anything down. It's just, I don't understand people that don't think he should get the Oscar or that don't like him at all. I mean, he's just amazing, and he's definitely, maybe he's even my favorite actor of our generation. I mean, you can't compare it to anything. Just, and even this big step he has taken from being the cute guy and now to playing this role, it's amazing.
Yeah, and this movie, I mean, Jordan, he reminds me a little bit, I don't know if this is a fair comparison because some people just hated his role, but he reminded me of Al Pacino in Scarface.
Still just haven't seen it.
Huh?
I haven't seen it.
No?
No.
Okay, but it's just, it's his acting was, well, the character was over the top. Some people say his acting was over the top.
No.
But the thing is, you'd think that DiCaprio as Jordan Belfort, again, Belfort is out of control completely.
Yeah.
But, and DiCaprio goes to really great lengths in this movie. I mean, his voice shrinks like a girl, and he's crying, and he's laughing, and he's just, it's all over the place, really. But it's so, I don't know, I feel like it's very controlled. You know, like what I said about Scorsese directing, he's completely in control of that character. He knows what he's doing.
He is at the top of his game in this movie. Just so, it's like Stevie Taylor and I, we've had like massive Twitter conversations on this already. We're like, we're going to make t-shirts out of the lemon scene and wear it. Anyways, but the thing, like what I said, like she agrees, and I think you guys will too. It's like, you know, when you watch the film, you know, it's like you knew that he had it in him, but you're still so surprised. Okay, that was like my actual like first reaction to it. Like, oh my god, like what has he done? Because it's like, I know he's a great actor, but I, you know, you would expected him to like sort of get buried in like roles like J. Edgar and stuff. You know, I had started like expecting that out of him. You know, I had written this really stupid post I'd written like ages back called a message to Leo, in which like I begged him to do like fun roles. Okay. Anyways, this is it, and it's like, it's so great like to see him let go like this. But as you said, he's still so much in control, but you don't understand it because he's having so much fun. Like you can, you know, all the scenes where like, you know, you can see him like smiling away, it makes you happy, and like, but at the same time, it's like, but he's also still, you know, he's still acting there, but you don't realize it. And like the only like, and like, and he I love the fact that, you know, he gets to look like himself,
yes,
and like do a role like that, because I think a lot of people, not that they're bad, but a lot of people automatically equate great acting with very serious acting, okay, in which like you have to go through like these like massive physical transformations, and they are very good acting, okay, but it just, it gets so like bogged down by those things sometimes. That's one of the reasons maybe I'm not like responding to Dallas Buyers Club so much. I would much rather, I'd prefer like Matthew McConaughey get his nomination for something like Magic Mike, Killer Joe. So it's those things. And like over here, like, you know, he's doing slapstick with the whole lemon scene. Like, he's just, it's just physical comedy, okay? Like full like he's just using everything he has. He's like, he's looking so good doing it. He's having fun doing it, and it was such a great like joy watching it.
Yeah,
it was
so good, and it's like no one else could have done it. He's using like all the God given gifts he has.
Yeah,
and he's just like just showing it to us, and it's not like an Oscar Beatty role, you know. He's just given himself up to that role.
And it almost seems
like, you know, like he didn't, because of, you know, the kind of roles we have started expecting from him. You know, it almost, to me, it feel like I remember telling my friend, you know, it's like I'm watching Leo, but it's not Leo. Like, uh-huh. It's like he's having, you know, it's like, it's almost like his free time, you know, because he's like, they're just doing such stupid things in that movie.
Yeah.
But it's so believable at the same time. So it's just blown like all the other performances away. Like I can't even see anything else except that right now.
Yeah, especially 12 Years a Slave. It's I like the actor and I like his performance, but it's just so typical. And this is just something else. This is creative and different.
It is out of the box completely.
Yeah.
It's so brave. It's so reckless. Oh, it's so amazing.
And the Lamborghini sequence was just
that lemon sequence, like it was so much fun watching it in like a hall full of people.
Uh-huh.
Because like they're not realizing, but this is like what like comedy like was born out of. This is like Charlie Chaplin's
exactly.
Going on.
Yeah.
Here, you know? And it's so amazing. There were points in the movie I was just gaping with like my mouth open, but I was still like really happy. I'll tell you this, the point when I realized that this is a great performance was, you know, in his the first speech with Steve Madden.
Oh yeah.
That's
a good one.
Okay, like his speeches were so great. Like, because before that, I was just enjoying so much of the movie that I wasn't really thinking about anything. It was just like, it's so much fun, like, think. But, like, in that, like, and I'm just like, I remember, like, watching, and I was like, oh shit, this is some great acting going on. Okay. Because, it's obviously the direction is the acting, but, you know, those scenes are usually, like, those motivational speeches. It's like, when you're, like, fighting for your country or something of that shit. It's always, like, in those contexts you have. But over here, he's just, like, telling people just to, like, make money.
Yeah.
And he makes all those faces, and then he, like, hits the mic on his head. It's so good.
Yeah.
If I could write poetry, I would write poetry. I'm so impressed by this. It's amazing.
It was really good.
I want to write letters to the Oscar people.
Yeah.
give it to him.
To him and James Franco. For Spring Breakers.
I haven't seen Spring Breakers yet.
Oh,
yeah,
you should.
You know, till Alex Withrow, you know, he had made like his best performances.
Mm-hmm.
He was making his best of lists. And then I was like, Franco is my favorite actor. Favorite male performance of all, because for me, like, my top three are women, okay, or war women, and then I was like, Leo might beat that, and then I gave like a list of like my other favorite performances, and then as soon as I saw Wolf, I went and I was like, listen, Leo has like obliterated the rest of my list. Okay, it's like I love him more in this performance than all of them put together. It's just like And it's so great because it's Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like a child, you know. It's like because he's like been there. He was like one of the first Hollywood actors I knew ever.
Yeah,
so
it's
so amazing to like see him do something like that. And I'm so happy. It's like such a happy role. The last time I saw him being happy was probably like in Catch Me If You Can or Titanic or something.
Yeah,
It
is. And have you read the trivia bits on the movie? Because they're even more hilarious.
They are?
They are. I don't remember them all, but I remember one about Naomi,
mm-hmm.
the actress, the scene where she slaps DiCaprio's character.
Yeah.
Mm. It says that she lost a bit of control and she actually slapped him really hard. And she was afraid that he was going to sue her or something.
Oh.
But it says that he was actually impressed and said to hit again because it was really
wow.
good. I don't know. It's just
I was just watching the Graham Norton thing, and it's like Jonah Hill. You know when Jonah Hill gets hit by that guy, the Brad dude,
uh-huh.
in the movie, and then he was talking about how like you know they had done like those fake punches. It wasn't working, and the Brad dude, he's like an actual boxer. Okay, so then Martin Scorsese is like, maybe we should just let him hit you once properly. and Jonah Hill is like, I don't want to, like, I can't say no, but I don't want to say yes. And then he's like, Leo is sitting next to me, and I look at him, and then he just looks away. And so he actually did get punched.
Oh.
In that scene, yeah.
Well, that's another thing. It seemed like the craziest set ever.
Can you imagine the people behind the scene during the lemon scene, like when they're doing all that crazy shit? Can you imagine being on set?
Yeah.
I can't. I need like a behind the scenes video for that because people must have like lost their shit.
Yeah.
Like their faces, and you know when he's like crawling after Jonah Hill, and
yeah,
like talking nonsense.
Yeah.
I love the part when I left more was right before when he was still at the club, and he wanted to go down the stairs, and he was trying to figure out how. Oh my god! I want to see that film again.
Me too.
I know. And another, it was like in that scene, you know, the whole juxtaposition of him taking coke to like Popeye eating his spinach.
That was genius.
So yeah, it was all I could think of was like Popeye was like, you know, that was like my childhood cartoon, that was like the cartoon I was obsessed with as a kid, and it's just like, can't imagine kid me watching this right now, but that'd be so cool. Okay.
It's too much cocaine in that film. Yeah. So much.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you can...
Whoever put Leonardo DiCaprio in that blue suit is a genius.
Yeah. And the soundtrack. Yeah, I mean, I love the soundtrack.
You thought the pink suit was good in Gatsby, but then he comes in this blue suit. Blue suit for me has, like, overtaken tuxedos now.
Okay.
Like, I am very, very much attracted to blue suits now. So it's, like...
It's the Doctor Who effect.
Yeah. It was just, like, freaking me out. The soundtrack's really good. I love the part when, you know, after that speech, the Steve Madden speech, there's that song which starts playing, like everything goes silent.
Yes.
And then it starts playing. I don't know what, it's something Hail Leroy or something. I don't know the song.
Yeah,
that was a cool song.
Yeah, I remembered what I wanted to say. We were talking about the set. Imagine all those extras just doing crazy stuff, you know. It was a party.
Yeah,
must have been.
Graham Norton asked Jonah Hill about like the airplane orgy scene.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like how it was to shoot that. Like, is it fun or is it like awkward?
Uh-huh.
And then he was just like, it was really funny because like Martin Scorsese was like very very embarrassed over there because he just like hold something because he wanted to be respectful. So funny. I'm so glad though I saw the uncensored thing. It's like the whole like that candle scene with Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio. It's so amazing. Just dying over him. I'm gonna get a t-shirt with like him on it, babe. I don't care. It will say, don't steal lemons. Do you think lemons had like a metaphorical meaning?
No, I don't think so.
Gives you lemons. Was it like a real thing? I was really confused. I was like, is it a real thing or is it like symbolic? Such a random name.
I have no idea.
No.
Nope. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
The 80s were a crazy time. And there were so many drugs.
Yeah.
So many crazy stuff. I have to buy that movie when it comes out. I think I'd give it a 10, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can't find anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
I've tried. I can't.
I tried too.
I didn't try.
It's perfect.
Too high on it still.
Yeah, I think, but that, yeah, that's the other thing. I think I'm still too excited about it to rate it. Because right now it would be a 10. Definitely.
Solid 10.
Okay, so plugs now. Okay, does anyone have any plugs for today? You have one, Matt.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I have a plug.
Okay.
There's a BuzzFeed article about 25 things that you didn't know about Fight Club.
Mm-hmm. I saw that, but I forgot to read it.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few that I knew, but there were some things like the fact, obviously read it after you've watched the movie, duh.
Yeah.
But like the part when, you know, that when the narrator is in the cave, you know, like when he enters his mind cave.
Yeah.
And he breathes into Marla, okay? And that breath, that was the breath of like Leonardo DiCaprio when he was dying in Titanic. They took that same breath somehow, I don't know, technology, and they put it there, which is so cool.
Wow.
And yeah, stuff like that. Wow. And like, some of it is really brilliant, like why I love Fincher. Like, there's the thing, like, you know, when Marla and Tyler first have sex, Marla, the original dialogue said, like, she was going to say something like, I want to have your abortion, which some producer found really offensive. Okay, so she told Fincher to remove it, but Fincher said, okay, fine, if you would remove it, only if she does not object to the next one. Okay, and she agreed, and that was when she says, like, I haven't been fucked like that since grade school, which she found even more offensive, and she couldn't do anything.
Oh.
So it stayed in the movie. So genius.
Okay.
Oh my god, Russell Crowe was supposed to be Tyler Durden.
What?
Can you imagine?
No.
He was like the originally... They originally wanted him. If it was him, it wouldn't have been my favorite movie. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I can't imagine that. No.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, my plug, it's kind of in the makings because it's not completely done yet. But it is the YouTube channel that I'm trying to set up with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
We have one video up there, and it's filmed by a very, very bad cam. So we're kind of trying to figure out which one to buy. But it's a regular YouTube channel. We're gonna do, like, we don't know what we're gonna do, but we have a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, like funny stuff. And so yeah. And you can find it by going onto YouTube, and you can Google We Want It All. I mean, not Google, I mean, you can write it in there. And yeah, you can find the video and just maybe subscribe, and you can then see the new stuff that we're going to upload.
Well, if you record it by day, it would automatically increase the chances of having a better resolution.
Yeah, definitely.
With your camera, yeah.
But I don't know, my camera is very old.
Yeah. So. It's okay, I mean, it doesn't matter. I liked it. I liked the first video.
Even I liked it.
Okay. Mine is not exactly a blog. I just started to blog again in English, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Started yesterday. I mean, today. It was past midnight.
On filmflare.pt or on the old one?
No, PT, because I'm paying for that.
Yeah.
With that address, so I thought it would be stupid to go back. I explained it, but basically it's just, it was getting a little boring because there was no one there.
Oh.
Like, I don't know, I know I should maybe have waited a couple more months, or, but I don't care. I'm really not that patient, so I went back to English because most of the views that I got was still from America. Even with a different domain.
Oh.
Like 90% of people were from America and other countries. So, I don't know. It's easier to.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Now we can read it.
Now you can read and understand what I'm saying. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I still go look at the pretty pictures, but yeah.
That was it for our main discussion and plugs. Again, I am Sophia. I blog at filmflare.pt, and you can find me on Twitter under filmflareblog.
I'm Meta Kowalski, and I blog at limereviews.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Meta Kowalski.
I'm Nick, and I blog at beingnormajean.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter at nikhat_z.
This is the Across the Universe podcast. You can find us on Facebook, that's facebook.com/AcrossTheUniversePodcast. You can email us at AcrossTheUniversePodcast@gmail.com with any doubts or suggestions or anything you have to say about our episodes. We appreciate any feedback as always, and of course in any of our blogs. Okay, and our next episode will be about the Oscar nominations, so keep in tune and make sure to catch up with all your movies from 2014. And that's it. Okay, so bye
lovely. Oh, bye.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and